Brother Skip, we'd love to hear what God's done for you, what he showed you, and what you have to say.
Can anybody hear me? I'm not used to this. Well, I don't know where to start other than back in the beginning. I had lost somebody that I thought the world loved. And I asked God to take me to death and bring me back, and I believe that there is a God. But why did I say that? He was listening. About somewhere around 2:30 to 3 in the morning, I was working on a car, and I didn't know if there was a propane tank in there leaking. And all of a sudden, the whole shop just blew up. And if they don't...
Okay.
I told you I'm not... but anyway, all of a sudden, the shop blew up, and I run out of the place and tripped on something. This is important, too. It tripped on something on the way out, which I never knew what it was for 30 years, and I found out. But anyway, I'll back up to that. I run out of the shop, and it was a 500-gallon tank we use for horses for water cut in half. Now, I ran out of the shop, and I went to jump in it, and it was in January. It was froze solid, so you're talking about a disappointment. So there was a frost-free spigot on around Father, around the building there, and went out there and reached up, got down on there, and pulled it, and I guess when the shock hit me, the cold water, I passed out. And I laid out there and burned, and somebody come by, thought I was dead, and they turned the spigot on again. And, I jumped up. Well, the top of this pump house was tarred and chipped, so this made it worse. I'm laying there burning in the tar and chips, and so that did another thing. But we had a person that was living up over top of the shop, and I had run around, and I told Butch that that's what I had tripped over. I mean, and I said, you go call the fire department. And I went around, and at their door, I was beating on it, and I couldn't beat no more. There was no skin left on my hands. So I started kicking it. And I woke them up and got them out of there. But then made my way up to the main house up there, which was, an eighth of a mile, I guess. I walked up there. And I'm in there trying to wash my hands in the sink and stuff that got on them. And there was a canine car come up, and Butch and my father talked to him. He would come up to check on the fire, see what was going on, and they talked him in. He said he couldn't do it. It was against the law for him to put me in that canine car with the dog in there and ride me up to where I could meet the ambulance. Well, I don't know what they told him, but I rode with the dog and everything. And I got up, and it was like 3 o'clock in the morning then. And the policeman dropped me off, and the ambulance had come in. And they told me, lay down on the gurney, and I did. Well, they sent the two littlest guy at the firehouse to pick me up. So I got on the gurney. They couldn't pick me up. So I told them, I said, look, put the gurney in the ambulance, and I'll climb in there. Well, that happened. And it was about time they got me to the hospital. It was about 3:15 or something like that. And on the way there, I saw this bright light shining in the sky like I never seen before. And I said, well, I guess I'm going. But anyway, I didn't. And I walked, when they backed up to the emergency room and opened the door, I hopped out and I walked in. All I had left on me was a belt on and a strip of pants that run an inch wide down to my kneecap. Everything else was burnt off. And when I walked into the hospital, there was already some people. I don't know how long they'd been in there waiting for the ambulance, to get seen. And when I walked in there, they backed up like they'd seen a ghost. I mean, they just backed up. And there's a policeman. I said, "Mister, please hit me with a billy club, knock me out." Well, he didn't, but they took me around the side, and I remember laying down, and they covered me up with ice and started pulling all my skin off, you know, what I had left. And, well, they had to comatose me for 6 weeks. They put me in a coma. And after 6 weeks, I woke up, and, you know, they had been giving me morphine all this time. Well, from then on, for about 6 months, they were giving me morphine every hour and a half, 24 hours a day, and it never stopped the pain. And sometimes, like if you're going down to debride me or whatever, they give me some extra too. But I've been to hell, and I want to tell everybody they need it. I don't want to see anybody in this world go to hell. I don't care if it beat me half to death. I don't want to see them go to hell. And we all need to think about that. It's going to be pretty rough down there, and you can't get out of that. I mean, it's terrible. I'm all right. Thank you. But I just can't imagine being in hell, and you can't get out of that. And I can remember laying in that bed there, and wouldn't come right on time with my shot of morphine. I'd be throwing pictures out in the hallway and everything. I was their main patient they had on the eighth floor. But they wouldn't let me out. They wouldn't let me out in 5 months, and they couldn't give me the morphine when I went home. So they told me, I went from 185 pounds to 120 pounds when I was in the hospital, and they'd give me stuff to try to fatten me up. But I just can't imagine just going into the hell forever. And everybody in here needs to try their best. If they know anybody that's not seeing what's going on, and remember me, that who you may not be helping, they might go, you know, down the wrong way. And like I say, somebody could beat me half to death, and I'd pray for them and try to help them. I can't imagine it's just, I can't imagine going to hell. It's terrible. There's a whole lot more to it, but it would take forever to tell everything. You know, the cuttings they do on you and grafts, and it was terrible. But I can't imagine going to hell and forever. And if there's anybody that y'all see that maybe you could help and tell them how it's going to be, I'd appreciate it. I guess that's all. I could talk forever and tell a lot more. But it gets kind of gross. Yeah. Now these days they don't cut the grafts off of you like they had to do me. They cut them off, you know, strips and strips, and put them on me. And I know one time I got staph infection. They all fell off, so then they had to find more spots that they could find a piece of skin to cut off. And that graft hurts more than a burn, cutting that stuff off. You know, I don't know how to say it. I did put me in the whirlpool down there, and I'd have to stick rags in my mouth and bite on it to keep from screaming. But I never cried one little bit. The doctor come down there one day, and he told the nurse, he said, "I told you to give him an extra shot when he comes down to this whirlpool, because it's so, you know, when he come out of the whirlpool and the air hits it. I mean, it's just like a million burnt pins sticking in you." And I don't want to go any farther. That's what drives me on. We got to do like we're supposed to. And there's a lot of people in this world that don't understand. They think it's a joke going to church, and that they're tough and they can make. I hope they wise up. We get enough time to get talk to people and stuff and see if there's anything we can do. I mean, you know, it's horrible.
And he lived hell here in this earth, and he doesn't want to live it through for eternity. Amen. I was going to teach on heaven and hell after he gave his testimony, but God gave me something else, which is uplifting. I'll give you that message some other time. Maybe tonight. Father God, I just truly do thank you for bringing Brother Skip through that trying time. Father God, as it explains it, I don't know how he survived except by you. And Father God, let us glean from what he told us this morning. And I thank you, God, that you're with us. I thank you, Father God, your Holy Spirit's here. I thank you that your holy angels are already doing a perfect work. We thank you, Jesus, that you took that beating for us so we didn't have to. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. This week is Memorial Weekend. We remember the fallen. Remember the ones who didn't die but who wished they were dead every day because of how they came back and how they've been treated. We don't treat our military properly. All right. This is what God gave me. Now, I want you to listen to what God's saying. You in that song, Behold, He Comes. This is a year of Jubilee. God told me that this year, 2024, is a year of Jubilee. Now, he says that many times. And I said, God, you keep saying every now and then that this is a year of Jubilee. He said, everybody's Jubilee is when they can believe for it. So if you can believe, God, this is your year of Jubilee. All right. Now, listen closely to what he's saying. There is a new movement afoot, one you have never encountered before. The electricity of heaven will be felt in these selected few. In other words, those who have submitted themselves to God. This is a movement that will destroy the enemy's camp. The implication of this move is one of total triumph at every turn. No more laboring to get heavenly work accomplished. All power and authority is being given to my beloved ones, and they shall be like Peter, and even their very shadows will heal. This great healing ministry is much needed. COVID brought all manner of sickness upon my people. It was a clandestine move of the enemy to completely wipe out this generation of workers. But I would not allow this to happen. What did he say? Completely wipe out this generation of workers. That's important. But I would not allow this to happen. I counteracted his move, and now you will see healing back in the church. That's what I want you to get in your spirit. This is what this is all about. The miracles that you will see will be magnificent. Limbs restored, blind eyes opened, tattoos removed. You name it, it will happen. My mighty hand of healing is now activated. Now activated. And healing it shall be, healing all over the land. Seek my face, mighty warriors. You need this electricity. It is a conduit to the supernatural realm of all things are possible. Trust me in this final hour. It is the finale of all finales. It is a grandstand performance, and you are the ones I'm going to use. I have seen you in your prayer closets pleading for the healing anointing. I have been standing by listening to what you have to say about the healing power of your God, and I am sending it your way. This is wonderful news. I have watched your faith grow exponentially. Your father is proud of his faith children. He is proud of your unshakable faith in the midst of the storms that the enemy has brought to your bodies. I like the way he said, to your bodies. They will run to the hubs of revival as the great healing revival begins, even this day. Touch the hem of my garment this day, well, night. Receive the electrical current attached to the healing. Don't let go. I don't know much about it. I looked it up, and it does explain electrical in the Bible, but I just thought this was fantastic. Touch the hem of my garment this night. Receive the electrical current attached to healing. Don't let go. Always expect the supernatural to work through you no matter where you might be. In this healing comes the power to raise the dead. You will remain in the time warp of healing as long as you walk in total righteousness in me. Some of you have been praying for this for a long time, and now the time is here. Never think I won't meet you. I am always listening for the voices of faith. Now, I think that that is a wonderful word from the Lord about healing. He said it's activated right now. And I'm expecting to see a couple people got healed in the last service when I prayed. And I prayed specific prayer the way God told me to pray them. And I got testimonies of healings. So God has already begun the healing, but he said we're going to walk in the healing miracles where even our shadows are going to heal. Now, I've moved on. I'm not going back to any old stuff. If you want to cling to your old lifestyle, the old way of doing things and always questioning God, you go right ahead. You won't walk in any miracles. You have to have moved past that, and you have to be right now in the place where you know that you're God's child and walk in the miracle powers. I'm not going back there with you. If you want to stay in your pigsty, well, you're going to be all alone. Don't bother me. Because God is speaking. He's speaking mightily. If you notice the words he's given me to put out there. And I can't hear God's voice if I'm listening to your woe is me. Are you listening? I have enough distractions in my own home without having other distractions. This is the way you should feel. We are now in the place where we have to have our ears totally open to hear God's voice. God has given everybody in here, you're all the same people, everybody in here, time to get out of your little hole that you're in. If you're going to stay there, well, then you're going to miss out on God. You have to get rid of them devils. If you still have devils, don't let them harass you. Don't let them harass you. Tell them to go in Jesus' name. I called Chris the other night, or he, I don't know how it worked, but how we talked, and I said, something strange. You know, God talked about electricity. Something strange is happening to me. I said, on the top part of my left leg, it feels like currents running through my leg. That lasted for about 3 hours. I said, it might feel like worms, but it just felt like current. And do you know what? That leg's stronger today. That was God's electricity running through my leg. I told Chris, I don't know what it is, but I said, I'll accept it. Amen? Come on, you guys, you know, you would not want to walk in my shoes, not in one day. You really wouldn't. You don't know what goes on in my home. But I'm still not going to go back or even stay into yesterday. We have to keep moving forward. We just do. You know, you might have problems, but somebody else has worse problems than you do. You know what I always think? At least I have a roof over my head and my house isn't blown all over 300 acres. Look at all the people went to bed and got up without anything. And they're saying the hurricanes are going to be worse this year and more than they've ever been. We've got too many things coming that are bad to stay in the mess that we were in yesterday or even this morning. We've got to be loving, kind, and gentle with one another. And if we can't forgive each other, God's not going to use you. God's just not going to use you. We can't come in the house of God feeling bitter. And, you know, we just have to, you know, Jesus went through a whole lot more than you'll ever go through. They said there's not enough books written and not enough space to hold the books that could be written about what Jesus did or what he had to go through. What's in the Bible is just a little tiny bit of what he went through. Come on, you're a child of God. You can do this thing. It's in you to do it. None of you would be sitting in this room today if you weren't going to be a leader. Because God said he's going to send leaders in here to be trained to go out and do a mighty works. So tell the devil to leave. Tell him to get going. I'm stronger than you, devil. All right, well, here is really what I was going to give for, but then God gave me this word, so I gave that first. So let's get into this. There was a man in the Bible named Gideon who was fearful and weak in his own sight, but mighty in God's eyes. The name Gideon means mighty warrior. Gideon was called to deliver Israel from the Midianites, but one day Gideon was hiding as they were attacking Israel. God had sent an angel to him, saying, "The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor." Gideon replied with a question, "If the Lord is with us, why did all these terrible things happen?" The Lord responded, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." After this encounter with the angel, Gideon went and rescued Israel from the enemy with an army that the Lord had reduced from 32,000 to 300. There were 32,000 going to fight him, and God got rid of them all except 300. You serve the same God. You don't serve some weak little God. You serve the same God today. The Lord also allowed Gideon to see into the enemy's camp. Many of you feel as if an army is rising up against you, but Jesus calls you a mighty man or woman of valor. You hear that? This is the truth. He is with you to defeat every army and adverse situation that comes against you. Many of you feel as if an army is rising up against you, but Jesus calls you a mighty man or woman of valor. He is with you to defeat every army and adverse situation that comes against you. If you hear it twice, you might remember it. Come on, you serve a mighty God. There's no reason to walk around like you're... If you read this morning's word for the day, that was an encouraging word. Now, this is God speaking again. "I have raised up a remnant as my mighty men and women of valor." Who has he raised up? A remnant. "They are students of my word and will see themselves as I have created them to be. I am calling my warriors who are strong and courageous." Each one of you being called this morning. "These walk in faith and are not moved by adverse circumstances. They are those men and women who are willing to go to the front lines, regardless of what they hear and see in the natural. They take me at my word as they rescue and deliver others from the grip of the enemy." Now, if you read your word, you'll find out that all the disciples were in their own battles, but still they went out and worked for God and freed other people. "They are spiritually intuitive, and their lives are transparent before me. They are not moved by bad reports, but will continue to advance into all that I have called them to do." This is for you guys in here today. "They do not dread the unknown because they know that I have given them everything that they need to accomplish my purpose." Read that again. "They do not dread the unknown because they know that I have given them everything that they need to accomplish my purpose." Every situation you get into is unknown, isn't it? Because you don't know how it's going to end out. You don't know what's going to go on between A and Z. But you still stand in faith, knowing that God is there to take care of everything in between. And if you're like me lately, you're saying, God, how much longer? You know, the battle's been long. They will not become, God's talking about you guys, they will not become weary as the enemy seems to be battering and relentless. As they seek my counsel, I will give them clear understanding and keen discernment. You just start listening to God. Open your ears. Hear what he's saying to you. They will seek me for wisdom and direction when they are in doubt. Isn't that what you do in deliverance? When you're in doubt, just seek God's direction, right? When you really don't know if you should buy a house or not, you seek God's direction. If you're going to buy a car, you should always be seeking God's direction. God goes on to say, they will sacrifice everything for my name's sake, and they are willing to burn their bridges behind them and forget the failures of their past. And that's what I was talking about when we first started. I can't go back because I burned all my bridges. I don't want to go back, and that's why I burned all my bridges. I don't want to go back and rehash and relive. I'm going to have some more ahead of me. All right? But then God said, don't want what you had in the past, because what I have for in your future is so much greater. So I'd rather look at what I'm going to have than what I went through. I had to go through that to get what I'm going to get. He's been building character in us and integrity. And we have to go through some trying times. You don't even have a testimony if you don't go through trying times. God said, I will expose the adversary's plans to them. See? And they will discern the enemy's tactic and recognize his schemes. I'm going to give you an example of that. I will expose the adversary's plans to them. With my first husband, one day I was leaving for work. I was walking up the ramp, and my husband was over by the garage. And God said, look, tell him to go ahead and do what he's planned in his heart. So I just said, you know, and God said, you're supposed to do what you're planned in your heart. I got divorce papers that afternoon. And then before he did the divorce thing, though, he came to me and he said, give me the checkbook. He says, you're so busy, I'll handle the bills. And God said, give him the checkbook, but he's going to take all the money. He's getting ready to do something bad. But give him the checkbook. He took the checkbook and all of our savings and hid it in Pennsylvania so that when he did the divorce thing, I got nothing. He took everything. But God told me he was going to do this. This is what God wants to tell you. Are you listening? Did I get all upset about that? No. God said, don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of you. So, you know, people want to steal from you. Just material things. After you get upset, it's just material things. All right, God said, they will then understand the assignments. Okay, so he said, I will expose the adversary's plans to them, and they will discern the enemy's tactics and recognize his schemes. They will then understand the assignments brought against them to distract them and remove them from their positions of authority. See, God will tell you the enemy's going to do this. Be watchful. And it's to take you out of your walk with God. I will show them how to disrupt the plans of the enemy over their life. This discernment that I give will bring wisdom and direction from my word. This discernment will come through prayer and intimacy with me. Store my word within your heart. In the days ahead, you will look back and understand that everything that you have done was not in vain. That's important to know. Everything that you have done has never been in vain. There's always a purpose for it. Although the army seemed to be gaining ground, I have already equipped you and made a way of escape. I haven't found my way of escape yet, have you? God showed me the door. lift the clouds so I can see, you know. Don't allow your circumstances to rule your thinking, but align your thoughts with my word. Do not allow discouragement and despair to wear you down, and this is where we fail. I have created you and called you for such a time as this. Don't let anything divert your attention off of your purpose. As you pray and believe, know that your prayers are powerful and effective. I did not call you to mediocrity, but I have called you to be strong and conquer every battle. Submit your lives in total surrender to me. That's the most important thing. Submit your lives in total surrender to him. If you're a forerunner, you're paving a way. You're the one who has to cut down all the brush and the trees and the weeds so somebody else can follow. So quit complaining because you have to do all that hard work. Because you told God, use me. So he's using you to pave a way. Well, God told me that the remnant is paving the way for the second coming of Jesus. So because that's what, if you're really a remnant, then that's what you're doing. And to do that, you have to do things that other people won't have to do. You'll walk right on. I used to always say, get some at these young people, because as older people, we've already paid the price, tore down all the trees and everything else, and they're just going to waltz right on in there. Isn't that what God said? They're going to come like a mighty army. They're going to waltz right on in there because we've already set the stage for them. I don't know about you, older people, but I'm glad I was part of that. I really am glad I was part of that paving a way for the younger people, because the younger people have been underdogs for too long. And it's time that God brings them up to the rightful place in him. And it's time the world starts giving them credit where credit is due. All right. God said, ask me and I will give you the wisdom, discernment, and understanding for the days ahead. Just as I sent the angel to Gideon with a message, I say to you, rise up, you mighty men and women of valor. Carry out the assignment that I have for you. And Romans 11:5 says, even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of Christ. The battle's not over, guys. Remnant. There's still some battles you're going to have to fight so the others can, you can clear the way for the others behind us. And, you know, and if you're not strong and you're weak, you get out of the front line, because you're going to be destroyed. You know, some people just aren't meant to do great mighty things. They're just meant to be saved and go to heaven, be sweet and go to heaven. So there's just some, maybe you're trying to be a warrior when you're really not a warrior. You're a praiser, you know, just a praiser. There's nothing wrong with that. God needs everybody. So if you're the devil keeps shooting you down, then maybe you picked up something you shouldn't have picked up. And, you know, and you're just in a battle that you weren't supposed to fight. So let's all understand where we're supposed to be. And let's all stay where we're supposed to be and quit trying to go into somebody else's territory. I couldn't flag. I could try to dance like Tiana, but I can guarantee you it wouldn't look like that, you know. I'm not going to get in her territory. I'm not going to get in these two's territory. I'm going to stay where I'm at. I'm a warrior. I'm on the front lines. These are the praisers and the worshipers preparing the way for us. That's where their job comes in. During praise and worship, they're up there praising and worshiping, you know, and opening the heavens so that God then can minister to us when we get to teaching. Your job's important. I don't care what you're doing. It's important. Everybody needs to be in the house of God to do the job that God has anointed you to do. And I know where I'm not supposed to be. So I stay where I'm supposed to be. Well, where am I supposed to be? If you don't know by now, you never will. Come on, God set you all in order whenever he brought you in. And I'm not being ignorant. I'm just saying you've got to get past yesterday. You have to do your job that God's called you for to do. No getting around that. No getting around that. At the t-shirt day yesterday, Teresa said she gave Gabriel some flyers to hand out. And he walked up and he said, here, this is the word of God for you to read. And he said he had the most wonderful day in the world passing out his little pieces of paper. I wished all grown-ups would feel like, all young people would feel like that. And he, not shy about it at all, just run around doing. And he said, I had the most wonderful day. It was more wonderful than wonderful, he said. And so this is the way we should all look at our walk with God. It's wonderful to walk with God. We should be an example. And I'm telling you, God's bringing healing into the lighthouse. I've been one that's been crying out and crying out and crying out about that. And not for myself, but for all the people that come in and they don't know how to get healed. You know, but they're down and they're out. And we need to be the ones to pay the price. So if God never heals me, totally, he's going to. But I'm just a sample. If God never heals me, that's okay. As long as he brings a healing power in to heal others, I don't really care. It's not about me. It's about the souls. Miracles, God never brought miracles for the church. He brought miracles for the unbelievers. It's right in the word. If an unbeliever walks through the door and they're healed, that's going to make them want more. And a believer knows that there's healing. And if you don't grab a hold of that, that's your fault. That's your fault, not God's. God's saying there's a misunderstanding in the body of Christ. The body of Christ believes that I'm here just to cater to their whims. And he's saying that that's not true. I'm here to bring the lost in. And he's not going to cater to your whims. I'm just like you. Someday I like for him to cater. But I know that's not where I'm not supposed to be catered to. He's expecting me to be strong, because he told me one time, as I was with Moses, so I shall be with you. And as you read Moses, you find out he just was with Moses all the days of his life. And Moses just did mighty miracles for God. Don't you want to be a miracle worker? Well, then get out of your rut. You know, today when we was singing, I thought the angels were behind you singing. It sounded like a whole house full of people. I was surprised when I sat down and didn't see that many. I mean, you know, Judy Jacobs, you know, she's a full-blooded Indian, and she knows how to dance and do warfare. And we used to sing her songs all the time. Did you learn anything by those songs? Did you learn to do warfare? Did you learn to do the rain dance, you know? Or were you just looking at words? No, there wasn't any words. Or were you just listening to what she had to say? Did you interact? This is one time when I was wishing I was sat back there so I could see if any of you were dancing. What do you want from God? What do you really want from God? He has restored everything to you. Well, this morning was overflow. He's given this church everything we could possibly want. He's overlooked our sins. He's given us grace after grace after grace. And now, it's Catherine Kuhlman time. Are you ready? Are you really ready? Are you young girls ready to, when other young people come in, ready to go to them and be exciting and exuberant and tell them all about the love of Jesus, you know. We're going to be doing some great wild things in here. Are you ready for it? Are you really ready for it? If you're still fighting and bickering among yourselves, you're not. If you still can't forgive a brother or sister for something you perceive as wrong to you, you're not. You're just not. And Astrid, if you can't live in harmony and love, I'm just using your example, and forgive others here, he can't use you to minister to your people. He has you in here to train you to love and minister to every matter, it doesn't matter who it is. And if you can't do that and you're holding on, then forget about your ministry out there. That's just the truth. That's just the truth. You know, why are you so thin-skinned? Why is it you allow everybody to get under your skin in public? Because people get under my skin too, but I keep it to myself and go out in my office and stomp a little bit. Or when Aaron calls, he gets the overflow. But yeah, I what I'm saying is I let go of it. I don't hold on to it because it kills you. I've come too far to stop now. I've been in this little move since 70. It's a long time to then all of a sudden let Barbara's silliness get my goat and go to hell. See what I'm saying? Are you understanding this morning? God wants you guys up and ready to go. Up and ready to go. Because you're going to walk in here one day and it's just going to be utter chaos of miracles. And you're going to have to be ready to go with the flow. That's how it happened. Well, it happened the first day time I opened the doors. It was just anointing and miracles. I didn't have a chance to breathe. And then I hadn't taught anybody yet. But now I have you guys standing by my side, ready to get in there. And you probably say, get out of the way. You'll be so excited. This is an exciting time to be in Christ. It really is. And God told us, you know, it's the best of two worlds. You know, no matter how much war is going on out there, God's going to keep us. And you, we talk about hurricanes or tornadoes. I'm believing no hurricane nor tornado is ever going to touch my property. That's just, I'm believing that. And I'm going to continue to believe that. I mean, you can blow my junk away, I don't care, but it's not going to touch my house. You understand this? I'm hearing God saying it's hallelujah time. It's time to jump up, run up, stomp your feet, tell the devil he's finished.